We had a nice break last week and got to hear from our missionaries, and we're definitely encouraged by the good things that are going on. But this week, we're going to jump back into the book of Acts. And so, time we spoke on the book of Acts, we looked at Timothy being circumcised by Paul and talked about how that seems really crazy because of the work that they were doing, but that in fact, the reason that Timothy was circumcised is because he needed to be able to reach the Jews who were unbelievers, that it was essential for his work in the synagogue to be able to speak and to testify of Jesus on his journeys. And so Paul is going to be with him. He's got Silas, and they're getting ready to move forward out of the region of Galatia. And in Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, it says, "Now leaving through Phrygia to the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Now, if I could get the map up there quickly, I want to show you guys, kind of give you an idea of what's going on. So Paul is taken off from Antioch. He's gone up through Tarsus, up through Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, and Pisidia. We're looking at somewhere right in this area here, okay? So, we have to do it where Paul is going out of Antioch, and he's saying to himself, okay, we're ready. And so he starts out getting ready to go through the region, and the Holy Spirit says, nope, not Asia. Okay, so they start to skirt around, and they say, okay, this thing is amazing, you know what? Bithynia, which is the top light green region up there, seems like it ought to be a pretty good place. That's not Asia. Maybe we'll go there. And the Holy Spirit goes, not much. I have different plans for you. Now, the thing I want to start off with, bring out as we're looking at this, is the fact that going to Bithynia was a comfortable place to go for Paul. Okay? Now, obviously, his missionary journey has been fun, right? We know he's already been stoned. We know he's already been harassed. And it hasn't been a necessarily good thing. But much like anything else, when you start doing something, you get comfortable with it, don't you? It's a lot easier for me to stand up and preach today than it was 4 years ago when I hadn't preached in years and started bringing something. When you're comfortable with something, when you get into a pattern of doing something, it becomes easier. And Bithynia is very much like all of these other cities, like Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, and Pisidia. They had large Jewish populations. It was places where it was a synagogue you could go to. You notice each city, where's he going? He's going to the synagogue and taking people from there. And you have to remember, Paul loves his people. He said in Romans 9, verses 1 through 3, "I tell you the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bears me with a spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I would wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh." You see, Paul loved being around Jewish people. He loved being around Jewish people. It didn't change when he became a Christian. He still loved his people. And so, when we look at this, the synagogue was a very important place for Paul. He was a devout Jew. Okay, this is a guy who was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He would have been in synagogue all of his life. He trained under Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of his day. And here he is. You will be in synagogue on a consistent basis, learning, studying. But not only that, there was a social aspect of it. Each of these places, no matter where he went, no matter what happened, you would have a place that's like home. Right? Kind of like, have you guys ever gone and visited a church when you're someplace else? How nice when you walk through the doors, if you find a good church, you walk through the doors and you feel comfortable, people take your hand, you get an opportunity to meet other Christians and you feel comfortable. And that's very comfort. It just feels like coming home. And the fact of the matter is, when we're not in those places, we're not with people who make us comfortable, it is very difficult, doesn't it? Have you guys ever been in a place where there are people with a completely different worldview than you? Like, completely different political views or completely different allegiances to sport teams? You know, as I was doing this sermon, I thought about something I hadn't thought about in years. I had the good fortune when I was in the military to be stationed in Virginia when President George W. Bush was inaugurated the first time. And so me and my buddies got excited and we're like, okay, so we put our dress blues on and we drove up to D.C. and we're there and having a good time, getting a lot of thank yous for your service, even though we were still in school, we hadn't served anybody yet. But anyways, getting like this really good deal, and as we were going to watch the motorcade coming in, we started walking along the street and all of a sudden things got very different very quickly. It looked like a carnival had come to town. People in weird hats, walking on stilts, coming around. And as we're walking in, at first I'm like, hey, this is actually pretty cool, you know? I'm like, oh, they're that excited. But then I started reading their signs. They were not big fans of our president. They were not big fans of the military. And here we are in our dress uniform, stuck right in the middle of this crowd. And one of the guys on stilts walks by and looks down. He goes from smiling to a scowl and he goes, I think you're in the wrong place. And I was really comfortable. I'm like, you know, next thing you know, we're ambushed by some amateur college journalist trying to ask him about the president. And here I am yanking my little buddy from Texas away going, let's go. You don't want to talk to them. You know, but it's uncomfortable. It's extremely, extremely uncomfortable being in that circumstance. It's uncomfortable being in Nebraska, being in Colorado. It really is. I mean, so I am an adopted Nebraska fan. My wife, Julie's from Nebraska, picked up the Huskers. I like the way they play football. Smash mouth, let's do this. The first time I'm proud wearing my Huskers hat into work, you would not believe the comments. I didn't even know that Colorado rivalry with Nebraska. I had no idea, but I tell you what, every time I wear that hat, I've got some kind of comment from some bus fan about the Huskers. It's like, you don't even play us anymore. What's your problem? But there's something about those rivalries and things. So when you and I go to watch a football game, if we're going someplace to watch it, we don't go to just any place to watch the Huskers play in Colorado. We go to where the Coloradans for Nebraska Booster Club meets. Why? Because other people are there who are like us. They actually enjoy watching the Huskers play. They're going to moan when there's a bad play. They're going to be happy with us when things go well. And that is what Bithynia would have been to Paul. A comfortable place that he would have felt at home. And yet the Holy Spirit says to him, nope, not Asia. Nope, not Bithynia. I've got someplace else for you to go. Which brings us to our second point. There was work in Macedonia. See, Paul sees this vision of somebody calling him Macedonia, saying, I need help. We need Jesus here. And the thing about Macedonia is that it wasn't anything like
what Paul was used to. You know, we may just think, oh, well, it's all the same, right? It's all going on into the Gentile world. It's all very, very much mission work. So what's the difference? Well, first off, when you get to Macedonia, it is a primarily Roman civilization. Now, we really think, like, well, the Jews didn't like any of the Gentiles, right? I mean, they're all equal. They're all the same, right? Well, not really. It's kind of like the feeling that we have, right? Like, the Broncos are my team, right? Okay? But I don't dislike every other NFL team equally, right? I have different levels of people I like and dislike. You know, I like the Vikings less than I dislike the Raiders. And surprisingly, I dislike the Raiders even a little less than I dislike the Patriots. There's just something about that, like that rivalry, is something that builds up inside of who we are. Human nature says there are certain people we like better and certain people that we like less, and the Romans were the worst, okay? What Paul was teaching to you in Galatia was actually the Greeks, and more specifically the Gauls. You know, you've heard of Gaul, you guys don't want to get into the technical stuff. But the point is that these were very different kinds of people. And so, to go to Rome was to go in the house of the oppressor. This was to go to the place where the people who had put them in bondage and misery dwelled. And the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to go there. You see, this place was a place of the enemy, but it was also a place where there was not a large Jewish population. For the first time in Paul's ministry, he's going to a place where his people are not. In Acts 16, verses 11 through 13, it says, therefore, sailing from Troas, when he ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women there. Okay, so here we are. Philippi is a major city, right? Oh, this is the place to be in that region of Macedonia. And you know what we see? No synagogue. There were not enough Jews there to be able to fund a synagogue. So, Paul, where has he been preaching all this time up to this point? That was home base. So now he walks into Macedonia, where there's no home base. Okay, well, this is a problem, but we can get past it, right? But there's also no reading of the There's no reading of God's law. See, we have Bibles on our phones, we keep Bibles on our coffee table, we probably have one in the bookshelf. You can go into many American homes and read the Bible. It's really not the case then. See, the Word of God was rolled up and put in this beautiful purple sack, and they had like a cabinet at the front of the synagogue that the Word of God was always placed back into. It was something that was sacred. It was something that was set apart. And people didn't have it. It wasn't readily available to everyone. And you'll notice that when he goes down the river, why did they go down the river? The simple fact that it doesn't say that they were reading, that means that there was not a solid biblical knowledge in this area. They didn't know the Word of God. And what's even more so is the fact that through this passage, we see that there were no men to preach to. We know this because the Jewish custom, if there were men down there by the river, that's where Paul would have started. He would have been talking to them first because of the cultural aspect of it. So here, not only does he not have a base of operation, he doesn't have a group of people who already understand who God is, and
there are no godly men to train up like we have in the past to become that next group of people to lead the church there in Macedonia. Now, I can't speak for how Paul is, but I know myself, I like my pattern. I'm a military man. I want it regimented. You know, when I worked at CSA, one thing I always told people when I was training was make a pattern, follow the pattern. If you make your pattern and follow the pattern, you're never going to miss the piece. You're always going to do it right because you do it the same way every time. Right? So for me, I mean, a person, if I walk in, I'm like, well, I don't have a synagogue. Okay. All right. We can work through this. Nobody knows. We can fix that. We can. Okay. Wait a minute here. Nobody here who I'm supposed to be equipping. Most powerful about that? You go to any of those. Paul knew what it was going to be like there. He grew up in Tarsus. It's a city of philosophy. He grew up in a world where he would have known wholeheartedly what Macedonia was like. He was in it. And Paul trusts in the leading of his spirit. I mean, it just astounds me. He doesn't know where he's going. The Spirit says no to Asia. The Spirit says no to the kingdom. He has no idea where God is taking him. And yet, he hurries along the way to get to where he's going. And he trusts in the Holy Spirit to use what's available. You see, in Acts chapter 16, verses 14 through 15, we see something pretty amazing happen. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us. She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house instead. So she persuaded us. Now, one thing that is interesting to me, can I have the map back again for a second? This is Thyatira. He's clear over in Philippi. How ironic that God tells Paul, you can't go to Asia. I don't want you in it. And how did he provide in Philippi? With somebody from Asia. But the thing that's so amazing about Lydia is the fact that here is this oddly faithful woman. She's in this place that is not her hometown, working there, and she takes the time to go down to the river to pray. And she hears the gospel message, and God uses her mighty. Why? Number one, she deals in purple. Do you know what purple is? It's the color of royalty. We would not be wearing. Okay? Bottom line, was reserved for the wealthy, for the debt, for the high-class people. It would be like saying she was Versace, you know? It's really, really high-class, really expensive stuff. So this is a woman who's making good money. This is somebody who is going to have a big house. And her case leads the rest of those in her home to believe and to be done. Now, I want you to think about this. Here I am, as a man who's going, well, how does this work? How do you make this work? Because you don't have to say it. I have no place to preach. I have no congregation. And I'm in this place where people don't even know the Word of God. And then, boom, one trip to the river. What do you have? A place big enough for everybody to stay. You have helps to build the church. And then you have a household. It would not be a small household, people. She would have servants. This is a group of people who have come to believe in Jesus, and now you instantly have this little church right there, and all of your needs provided for you. Isn't it something? How when we start to look at things from our own patterns, from our own ways, what seems the best, it's most comfortable. It's when God takes us and steps out of our comfort zone, that He starts to do amazing things. Did Paul do this? Did Paul start this amazing little church in Philippi? No. It's the Holy Spirit. And to the right person, in the right place, at the right time. And God moves mightily. You know, it may be tempting in our lives to just stay where it's comfortable. We may be tempted not to stretch ourselves, not to move outside of the areas where we feel safe. But the thing is, God does great things when we give up our will. When we're willing to say, I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to do something that is completely out of my comfort zone. There's a group of us guys next Saturday are getting ready to step way out of our comfort zone. We've been asking for clothes, and I thank you. I know there's already a good bit down there to help keep some of the homeless in our community. Some food that's been brought to help nourish them. And God is calling us as this group to go out and to step out into a place that isn't comfortable. I'm going to ask you to pray for us this week, that we will have the faith to not just go up here, some clothes and some food, it's not funny, I hope you have a nice, I'm obviously exaggerating, I don't feel that way, but it's to reach out to people who are in a different place than you are, and that we will have the courage to talk with them, to learn about their lives, to pray with them, to be the voice of God for those who are going through some hard times right now, whether by their own choice. See, God does powerful things when we allow Him, when we take advantage of the opportunity that is out, and we walk in the direction that He's asked us to go. Maybe you're here today, and you're like Lydia. Maybe you're recognizing the power of the gospel. You're looking at your life and you're saying, you know what? I need Jesus. I need this gospel. I need to die to myself. I need to be buried with Him. I need to rise again to a new kind of life. If you're here today and that's where you are, we want to make that possible for you. If you would like to be baptized, if you would like to be immersed into Christ, to die to yourself, be buried, and to rise again to a new life, we want to make that opportunity available to you. If you are here today, then you just need prayer. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in that comfort zone. Maybe you feel like you're just in a rut. And you want somebody to pray with you. You want to have an opportunity to have someone come alongside you, to pray for you, to encourage you. We want to offer you that opportunity. We're going to have a prayer, and then we'll have the song. I'm going to go ahead and ask you all to, if you would please stand at this point, and we'll pray. And then after that, as we're singing the song, if you want to come forward, please come forward, and we'll talk with you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you now, and I just want to thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, I'm always amazed. The book of Acts has been so awesome to see how you move and how you do things, and that you take imperfect people and you just make things work. Lord, I thank you that you guided Paul to where he needed to be to reach the people in Philippi, that you took him to a place where there were people that he would have had natural dislike for, and yet he still loved them enough to walk in their world. And that through all the hardships and all the strangeness and difficulty of this new process, that he trusted in you you can give that out and forgive them. Lord, I'm asking you to do that for us today. Guide us and lead us. Give us wisdom. Help us to be a light into the world. Lord, if there are hearts here today who haven't reached out to you, I pray that you give them the courage to make the choice for you today. Give them the strength to make the choice to be your child, to deny themselves, be buried, and all of them with you in a new life. Lord, whatever the needs are, I pray that you will open the hearts of people here today and that we will be ready to go into all the world to preach the gospel. I pray that you will send me this place before you. Amen.